This morning, we're continuing with our response to grace, and specifically, we've been looking at that old place of when we enter the rest of God, where we cease from our own works, and we enter His rest. There's a place where we receive grace, a lot of graces that we can receive in His presence, and we've spoken about some of them. And this morning specifically, I'm going to chat about the grace to give. And it's just a place of, this thing has gone unfrozen on me. Any case, right from the beginning of Scripture, how the Lord chooses to partner with man in seeing His purposes come to pass in the earth. So we see that with Adam right from the beginning. Adam gets the job to name all the animals. And right from the beginning there's a partnership going on, and God gives us stewardship of the earth. And I think it's an important place to start for us to understand that Psalm 24 says that the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. Everything belongs to God. He's the King. He's the Creator. He's the Giver and the Sustainer of life. He keeps the whole universe in place just by the power of His Word. And for us to understand, yes, that I do have, I've been blessed with a lot of things. We all have been blessed. And if you're sitting here this morning, you're probably in the top 5 or 2% in the world in terms of opportunity and just living standard. And it's just a sobering thought to think all of that belongs to God. He's the owner, and I'm but the manager. Kind of, He gives us stewardship of something for a little while, for maybe a long time or short time. Whether that be resources in terms of financial or time, even relationships, often something that He entrusts to us to manage, to be a steward of, and to partner with Him in. And I think that's kind of the thing I want to focus on this morning, that there's a place of us partnering with God in our resources and managing it and managing what is His and really partnering in it with Him. In terms of, I was like that, always kind of thinking, yes, I got this great idea, I'm going to bless somebody or I'm going to do this. And then I say, Lord, please bless this. Where instead of just going to God, I say, Lord, I know this is what You've given me is actually Yours. How should I go about it? How should I manage it? And how should I give? Let's read from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, from verse 1. This is Paul, Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian church. And he writes about another church in Macedonia. He says, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And they not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. And it's interesting there, Paul refers to some of these graces. He says, as you abound in these things, and he names some of them, see that you also abound in this grace of giving. And then he gives that incredible example of this church in Macedonia who had really found that place of grace, where they were not in a good place in terms of physically. They were going through a lot of trials and tribulations, and they were in a great place of need. And they found in that place of need, they found the grace of God for them in that situation. And that's exactly what I'm talking about, is that wherever we find ourselves at, that we would take a hold of the grace of God for us, for that place, for that situation, for that circumstance. And then in that grace, in taking hold of that grace, we are empowered to do what seems impossible. And they are then, by taking hold of that grace, they were able to do what seemed impossible, to give beyond their ability, to give in from that place of need. And that I found, even not only, like I said, this morning's not only about financial things but the resources. You know, we've got a lot of resources, but for me, I found even in a place where I'm short of time, you always feel now too little time. You know, there's too little hours in the day, but apparently today it's 25 hours. So that's a bonus. So take that one extra hour and make the most of it. But, you know, even in that time, you know, there's a place where you feel, now, I'm always short of time. Then if you find the grace to give out of that place of need, you will find God doing what seems impossible. And multiplying that bit that you bring. And I want to commend you as a congregation. And it's really been incredible. The church, the congregations here in London, and this congregation has always been blessed. The Lord has always provided. The Lord has always provided an abundance for the work that He has prepared for us. And I want to encourage you, and I want to thank you for being faithful in that, being faithful in the giving, and being faithful in partnering with us and with God in this. It's really encouraging, and it's always such an amazing sign to see the blessing of God on our resources, and to see everybody taking up their role and just taking part in that. And I want to just encourage you with that and commend you. And if you see, look at this specific example, you know, of us finding God's grace and taking all of His grace to give. You know, if you think about it, naturally most of us are quite selfish. I am. And we're inclined out of our own who we are and, you know, where we come from type of thing, we're inclined to kind of cling on to that little bit that we think is ours. It's even and even that bit that I'm clinging on to is actually not really mine, it's actually God's, you know. And we kind of just, I'm just holding on to this, and it's so sometimes we really struggle to, whether it be time, whether it be, finance or whatever it may be, we struggle to see how can this go do what God has called us to do, you know. And it's amazing that we see in this that grace that God has made available, that grace that we can find is in His rest, is there that we would become more like Him. And if you look at God, and this is such a challenge me again preparing for this, He's the ultimate giver. God so loved the world, John 3:16. What did His love manifest in? He gave His Son. He's given us in 2 Peter 1:3, it says that in Christ we have all things. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's every time it speaks of an abundance, it's like all things. It encompasses a lot. It's just this incredible giving heart that we see from God. James chapter 1:17 says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. And if you think about it, that means every good thing in your life, every blessing, every resource, everything that you have received comes from God. He is the source. He is the ultimate giver. And when we find ourselves in this place of rest, where we kind of cease from our clinging and our own works, and we find ourselves in a place of rest, the grace is there for us to become more like Him, to partake in that heart of His, to give and to love, and to see our love manifest in our giving, as we see in God's love. He loved and He gave. So this is like on my heart this morning for us to really to get a glimpse of that provision that God has made for us, and to take a hold of that grace that He has made available through Jesus Christ. And that grace enables us to walk in that partnership with Him. It enables us to stand, to be obedient in how He directs us to manage what He's entrusted to us. And specifically, I want to say, it enables us to walk in partnership with Him and manage that His resources, God's resources, which we are managing. Okay, I just want to say it exactly like that because that's how I believe it works. It's God's resources that we are managing, and that's what that grace empowers us to do. I want to read a very well-known account of one of Jesus' miracles, and so it's quite a few verses, but read with me. Actually, let me just give you some background. There was a great, Jesus was ministering, and there was this great crowd of people, and the scripture says He looked upon them and He had compassion upon them, and He ministered to them, and it got late in the day, and it got time to eat, you know, but they were far away from any fast food stores, and there was no Kentucky, KFCs in the area, no McDonald's, so they had a problem. They had all these people, and it was kind of supper time, or what's the correct term, yeah? In any case, it was time to eat. And the disciples came to Jesus and said, "What are we going to do?" Let's read from Matthew 14, from verse 16. But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to Him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish, which is a little boy's lunch that is more packed for him probably. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then He commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, He blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So one of my favorite accounts. And if we can now speculate about how many people were there. Any guesses? If there were about 5,000 men, what do you think? At least one lady per man, maybe? As far as I know, mostly at Christian gatherings, there are more ladies than gentlemen. But let's not make that assumption. Okay, so let's say at least maybe one woman for every man. And then those days they had big families. So, but let's not go into it. Maybe 2 children for every couple. But the fact is, there were a lot of people. Okay, we're looking at 10,000, 15, maybe even more than that. So that's a lot of people. That's a lot of food that you need. Okay, I see some of the accountants making calculating. If you divide up, you know, 5 loaves, you know. The reality is this was a great impossibility. And I just want to lift out a few things in this passage that really challenged me. One, firstly, the instruction. Jesus kind of throws it out there. He says that, you know, the disciples come with this massive problem and they say, "Listen, this is what I think. We just need to send them away. Everybody, every man for himself, type of thing. Sort out your own problem. You know, good luck." And Jesus says, "No, don't send them away. You feed them." And often, I think that's where a lot of us, and myself included, that's where we get off the bus, because we hear the word of God, and then we really think, "No, this is, can't be God. this must be the devil," because immediately kind of. Dismiss it as this is not possible. This can't be God. It's completely ridiculous. And then we move on, kind of thing. So I often think that's the first place where we miss it. You know, we hear something, and immediately we rationalize it's not possible, or it can't be the word for me. Maybe it's for somebody else, but it can't be me, because 5 loaves, make a few sums. No, it's not going to work. Type of thing. We stare into what do the facts say? The facts say, if you have 15,000 people, 5 loaves and 2 fish are not going to go far. Okay, that's what, and we stare into the facts and we think, no, it can't be God. And I've done it often, just shrug it off and go on with my life type of thing, you know. Okay, there's the first challenge. And I believe that's what God is, bringing before us this morning. Is that, remember 2-3 weeks ago, we spoke about that thing that keeps us from the rest of God, that seed of unbelief. The thing that kept the Israelites from going to the promised land first time around. That thing of, yes, there are giants. Although God said he's going to give us this nation, this land, this promised land, we don't think it's going to happen. And that's again the challenge of, yes, this is what God is saying, but I can't see it happening. And that's where we need to be aware, that seed of unbelief, that thing that wants to come in, that the thing that the enemy sows and says, but can God really do it? But actually, if you look at the circle, if you look at the facts, it's impossible. So I want to say that's the first thing we need to watch out for. When that word comes, don't receive that seed of unbelief. Don't allow that thing to come in. Even if you have to just pray again, say, Lord, did I hear you correctly? Am I supposed to feed these 5,000? The need is so great out there. Did I hear you right? Even if you have to do that, that's fine. But don't allow that seed of unbelief. Don't allow that first reaction to say, no, it's not possible. I'm choosing not to believe God. We look at our resources and we think, yo, but this challenge that has come across my path, I've barely got enough for myself and for my own family. You know, we kind of, and that's the challenge where we have, are we going to allow that unbelief to come in? Or are we going to say, okay, Lord, if this is your word, how is it going to happen type of thing? Secondly, Jesus asks, what do we have? What is here? And then there's this little boy and he's got 5 loaves and 2 fish and they bring it, you know. And I think that's the second step. When we have said, okay, this is God, and I'm going to choose not to take this unbelief, and I'm going to choose to stand on the word of God and believe what he tells me to do, he's able to make it happen. Then I look at what I have. And again, that's the next challenge. Again, it's the reality of what I have seems so little. The time that I have. It's crazy. I mean, I'm working long hours. I've got, you know, family. I've spent, you know, I need to spend time with my family. Surely I don't have time to facilitate a small group or to serve a church or to go to intercession or to serve my neighbor and to help him out with something or to do something in community. I mean, surely I've got to make, just cling on to this bit of time that I have and make it happen, okay? But the challenge for me is that to come to the place where we say, okay, Lord, I've heard your voice. I'm not choosing to bow under unbelief, but this is all I got. But then just to bring it to God, say, Lord, this is what I have. I don't know how you're going to do it, but here it is. I don't know how it's going to happen, but here are the loaves and the 2 fish. I think the disciples were kind of, whatever, you know, here you go. This is all we got type of thing. I think they were expecting Jesus to say, okay, well then just send them away and let them go and eat. But just to bring it. And that's probably the second biggest challenge is after we have chosen to believe God, to say, Lord, but this is all I have. But what I have, I bring to you. What I have, I yield to you. This that you have entrusted to me, here it is. And when we bring it, and when we yield it, be ready to be obedient. Be ready to respond to the word. Be ready to hear God's voice again and to hear his instruction and to hear his direction. And then the third thing, we see this incredible thing. This is so encouraging to me because if you think about it, Jesus blessed, he looked up to heaven, he blessed, and he broke the bread, and then he distributed it to the disciples. So if you make a quick calculation, every disciple received a little bit less than half a loaf. Okay, if there were 12 disciples and 5 loaves, you with me? Okay. And now, I think this must have been the biggest challenge for them that day. Now, Peter is a big guy, been working all day, serving Jesus, getting things ready. He must have been hungry. He's got a family to feed. Now he sits with less than half a life. You know, if it was me, I would have been tempted to think, yeah, Lord, this is barely enough for me. I mean, this is not going to fill me up. Maybe you know, depending on the loaf and what kind of bread they use, maybe it was just enough for me and my family. I would have been really, we're kind of challenged with, am I going to just make sure that we are looked after, or am I going to take this, what Jesus has given me, and do with it what he's told me to do? You see the thing, the challenge of between we receiving from God, receiving from Jesus, and moving in obedience. There's a massive, again, a challenge of unbelief that could come in. And the disciples go, and you can just imagine Peter walking up to the first batch of people, you know, the first group. Maybe there's this huge, hungry guy sitting there, and Peter's thinking, man, I'm not even going to get to him, and he's going to be upset, you know. What am I going to do? And if you think about it, the miracle happened in the hands of disciples, not in the hands of Jesus. He distributed to the disciples. But when they moved in obedience, that's when the miracle happened. When they moved and they started distributing that one bit, and then, oh my goodness, there's more. And then giving that, being obedient, being faithful with that little bit, and there's more. And then the next person, and that big, mean, angry guy, he gets his full, you know. And it must have been so incredible to see that as they're moving in obedience, as they're taking what seems impossible, as they're doing the most ridiculous thing ever somebody's ever told them to do, the miracle happens in their hands. And it's right there, and there's enough, and there's more, and there's enough, and there's enough for everybody. And that's kind of as we choose to obey God, as we choose to say, Lord, I know this is completely ridiculous. You know, you've called me to start this thing in the community. I know it sounds completely ridiculous. I'm just going to go for it. I'm just going to start moving in what you've told me to do. Often when we start to move, the provision comes. When we sit and we wait, Lord, it's not possible. I've made the calculations 15 times. It still doesn't work out. I can't do this thing in the community you've called me to do. But as we start inquiring, as we start knocking on doors, as we start looking out, and we move, God directs us, and we see his provision, and we see the miracle happen right here, right there. Impossible happens when we move in obedience. And then we see that little bit that we thought is so little, and we thought will never go even, you know, won't even go close. We see it multiplied, we see it miraculously meeting every need that there is. Whether it be time, whether it be your spiritual gift, whether it be the people in your small group or in your worship team, or wherever you are involved in ministry, or oh Lord, these guys you've given me, they don't have faith. You know, why must I struggle with them? God is not confused, okay? He's made sufficient provision. And then lastly, or next, we see as the whole crowd gets filled, gets fed, and they have enough, we see this incredible miracle happen. And then, you know, as the disciples move in obedience, but then they gather up what's left over, and there are 12 baskets. Now, I don't know it doesn't say what they did with the 12 baskets, but for me, it so powerfully represents the families, the disciples and their families. 12 baskets full, enough for the disciple and their family. In other words, you know, after we do this completely ridiculous thing, there will be enough. There will be enough for you and your family. There will always be an abundance for every good work. There will always be enough time. There will always be, you know, that bit of time will be multiplied and blessed and, you know, pressed down. Whatever it is, there will be sufficient for you and your family. There will be enough. There will be enough for your needs. There will be enough for your children. You don't have to worry about that. God, as you build God's house, he will build your house. That's one thing I've so powerfully seen in my life. When I put my heart and my soul and everything into what God tells me to do, He sorts out the rest. He sorts out my own issues. He delivers me some things. If I focus on my issues, it just gets worse. When I focus on what God tells me to do, He delivers me. When I focus on my finances and my budget, it doesn't make sense and it just depresses me. When I focus on what God tells me to do with that, and I'm just faithfully obedient with every step, He sorts it out. And I look again, He's made provision, and there's more than enough. That's how God operates. There was that challenge for the disciples to take the seed of unbelief, you know, maybe run around the corner, sit behind a bush and quickly eat that piece of bread. But they chose to be obedient, and they were part of one of the greatest miracles that is written down. You know, as you know, most of you know, I love cycling. I enjoy it. Enjoy mountain biking specifically. But I thought about the other day, I've only ever bought one mountain bike. I've owned quite a few, but I've only bought one. The first one. It was when I started working for the Air Force, and I had a bit of money for the first time. You know, I had a bit of cash because we were busy with training all the time, so we didn't have any chance to spend our salary. And then when we did have a chance, you know, I bought this mountain bike. And since then, the Lord has, on more than one occasion, required of me to give my mountain bike to somebody. Now, if you're a mountain biker or a cyclist, you know that's kind of, it's like almost like giving your child away. It's not like that, but it's, you know, that's just really like something that's close to your heart. It's, you know, at that stage, it was my transport, it was like my wheels, you know, and it's, you know, you care, that thing doesn't stand outside, it stands inside, you know, it's like, it's the next to my bed, you know. I used to sleepwalk, and I woke up once on top of my bicycle. Any guys? But, this is really something that's close to your heart, and that's got nothing to do with the script, with the message. Please don't think of any significance there. But, and I remember the first time the Lord saying to me, He wants me to give this bicycle to somebody. And I thought, nah, I'm gonna, the Lord has to give me a sign, you know. And I remember I asked, I knew this person was a friend of mine that he wanted me to give it to, and I asked him some questions about, you know, what he's, because I know he was trusting the Lord for a bicycle, so I asked him some questions. And the Lord just very clearly confirmed, no, this is what you must do. And I must say, there was just grace, because I didn't think about it, I just did it. And, you know, then I sat without a bicycle. And within a month or so, somebody came to me and said that the Lord told him they must give me this mountain bike. With all the gadgets, with all, you know, all the gear included. And, you know, it just blew me away, because the one that I sold was very precious to me, but it was definitely not the best one on the market. You know? But this one that I got blessed with was quite a step up. And then a little later, that one was stolen a year or so later. And I had to trust God. And somebody else came to me and said, listen, I want to bless you. God said they must bless me with this. And then it was a great step up. Amazing bike. Light. All the top components on it. Most of you, it sounds like Greek, but it's a good thing. Okay? And then again, the time came and the Lord said, I want you to give this to somebody. I thought, yeah, you know, this is the best one I've owned. This is so amazing. And again, it was just grace for me. I didn't ask too many questions. I knew if I think about it too much, I'm going to probably not do it, you know. And I remember Ernan, it was just before we got engaged, I think. And Ernan was like, nah, this guy's crazy. You know, he just kind of, this is his only transport, you know. This is the only way I can get around. And I just gave. And then I didn't cycle for a while. We moved to Johannesburg and everything. And then I got blessed with a very cool bicycle. Anyway, what I'm saying is that it's just this little thing. But I can just see that cycle of blessing. Where when we choose to be obedient, even the little things, even the things that are dear to us, and the things that it doesn't have any eternal significance, But as we obey and we open our hand, God blesses. And he blesses somebody else. You know, it says it's more blessed to give than to receive. But that receiving bit is pretty good as well, you know. and I think, you know, it's the same with compassion, you know. There's a wonderful opportunity for us to partner with God. To say, Lord, I see what you're doing through this amazing work that you're doing in people's lives, in countries, you know, in incredible need out there, and lives of individuals. And the amazing thing for me about this is it's not only physical. It's not only education. It's not only food. It's the gospel. These kids are being discipled. And that's kind of what's most important to me. But they're being discipled with something in their stomach. They're being discipled with the roof over their head. And that's amazing. It's an incredible opportunity that we have. You know, often somebody wants to use this example. It's so simple. You know, often we cling onto what we think is ours. You know, we're like, yes. And God is saying he wants to bless us with so much more, but our hands are closed because we're clinging onto this bit. Instead of just saying, and having our hands open. If God wants to take it out again, that's fine. If he wants to put something more in there, that's also fine. That's there. My hand is open. I'm not clinging on anything. I'm not panicking about something. I'm not living in fear. I'm not looking at the budget too much. It's good to have a budget. Don't get me wrong. You know? But my hand is open. If God wants to take, it's fine. If I can give, great. If God wants to bless, I'm ready to receive. My hand is open. And we can receive what God is holding out to us. I've got a few challenges for us this morning. We're going to spend some time in prayer just now. I want to ask, are you over budget? If you're over budget every month, you know, barely making it, just there, just enough, or not even enough, always thinking, yeah, I could have done this, or we could have done this, or I could have saved up a bit. You got barely, you know, there's not really enough to give as I felt to give. You know, often we see a need and we think, yeah, I would really love to give, but I just can't this month. You know, it's just too tight. Or time-wise, you know, I'd really love to, you know, some of us are rushing around, long hours. I know it's hard, it's difficult, families. But I'm throwing that out there. If you're there, if you're running around, there's too little time in the day, barely getting around to what you feel God has laid in your heart, almost thinking, no, it's Lord, just hang on with that. I don't have time now. Okay. Some of us are frustrated with, like I said, that thing that God has given you, this project. Maybe you're a small group facilitator, or you're in the worship team, or with Shine, or whatever ministry or in the community, and you're thinking, Lord, with these people that you've given me, you know, send more, send more leaders. This what you've given me, this little bit is not enough. The guys aren't on fire, they don't have faith type of thing. You know, Lord, what's wrong with these guys? I want to challenge us this morning, myself included, that God has got a rest prepared for us. He's not confused about what he's given you and me. He's not confused about what he's calling you to do. He's not confused that if there are 5 loaves and 2 fish and 20,000 or 15,000 people, he knows maths, okay? He's made the calculation. Often we think, obviously God doesn't understand accounting. I want to challenge us. If God has called you to do something, if God has called you to serve somewhere, and it's going to take time, it's going to take time to write a letter to the person that you're sponsoring, the child. If he's called you to do something, he will provide the abundance of resources that you need and more. And that's my challenge to us this morning. As we move in obedience, even when it's impossible in the natural, just start moving. Just say, okay, Lord, what's the first step? And then take that first step. Okay, Lord, what's the second step? And as you step out, the provision will be there. As you move in obedience, the provision will be there. Time-wise, finances-wise, spiritual gifts-wise. If you think, no, I can't go to intercession, God, I can barely pray in front of people. Never had a word of knowledge. And, you know, these people are so spiritual. They're going to judge me if I can't even pray in tongues yet, you know. Yuck. They're going to just chase me out. No, it's ridiculous. God, what God has given you is enough for now. Take your faith and go to the prayer meeting. I've never fasted in my life before. Now they're doing this fast thing. No, just take that bit that you have. Even if it's, if you don't do a water fast or whatever, just go as far as your faith is. That bit of that faith that you have now. Take that and be faithful with it. Take that, the finances that you have now, and be faithful. And as we move in obedience, people, I want to challenge you. You're going to see things happening that will blow your mind. You will see God change people's lives, and you will just stand back and stand in awe of how good He is and how faithful He is. You will see lives transformed. Even that 70p a day can transform somebody's life. Even that letter that you send changes someone's life. Even that need that you meant that you see in the community, and you just one little step at a time. So move in obedience. We're going to see God transforming this community. Are you encouraged? Amen. What are we going to do now? and I just, if you're a visitor, please bear with us. We're going to spend some time in prayer. I'm not going to spend hours, but I'd like us to pray specifically. We're just going to, as we're sitting, I want us to form little groups and pray together, just with who you're comfortable to pray with. If you're visiting and you're not comfortable to do this, you're 100% willing, welcome just to sit for a bit. But we're going to pray for specifically compassion leaders, the leaders of the ministry, the organization, the projects that they've got running all over the world, and specifically for the children that are being sponsored by our members. We're going to pray for them, okay? And then specifically in Ghana, there's a specific community where most of the kids we are sponsoring come from that community. And there's the church there is called the Faith Temple. And the village is called Ofankor, is that right? And the pastor there is Pastor Fifi Williams. Is that right? Wilson. I'm sorry. So if you could just pray for Pastor Fifi and for the church there as well. We're partnering with them in that community specifically. So it's those three things, the compassion leaders and the projects, the children specifically, and the Pastor Fifi and the Faith Temple and that community. Okay. Shelley? Yes?
Good morning, everyone. I just, as Yaku's been speaking, have been thinking about something that is happening at Compassion. We've got something called a 2020 vision, which our leaders, particularly Wes Stafford, who's the president of Compassion International, really believes that God gave him a message that by 2020 we'd be able to support 4 million beneficiaries. So that's not just the kids in the project, it's also the project we run with mums and babies and also the LDP students. All of the students who saw on the video are actually students who've been through our leadership development program. And so this vision is something where we're sitting at the stage where we're trying to take what we have as an organization and grow it into something that we can't physically see how we're going to do this, basically. And I think we're at the stage where we're really trusting God for strategy on how to do this, how to get to these 4 million beneficiaries. So we'd really appreciate your prayers for our leaders and the decision makers who are trying to trust God to give them that strategy to reach that 4 million beneficiaries, because it's huge. And we sometimes don't think, how are we going to get there? When we look at the marketplace out there and we see Christianity, we do all the studies and Christianity is declining in the UK and that's our main market. And it's just, in a natural sense, a real challenge for us. But we believe that it's a vision that God gave us, so we want to completely own that and trust Him to help us reach it. So any prayer for that would be really great as well.
Okay, so let's do that. Where you're sitting, if you could form groups of two or three. We're not going to pray very long, so let's keep the prayer short and focused. Pray the prayer of agreement, prayer of faith, and we're going to close. Amen. Thank you that we can come together, Lord, as believers this morning, Father, that we can bring compassion to you, Lord, and and their leaders, God, and every child that is being sponsored, Lord, and every person that is being discipled and is being raised up, Lord, every part of the project, Lord, their leadership, God, the vision, Father, that you've given them, Lord. We thank you that we can partner with this organization. We thank you that your hand is upon it, Lord. We thank you, God, that as we bring them before you, we know that you have made provision for every good work, Lord, for everything that you've laid before them, that you have made abundance of provision for every good work, Lord, and we commit them to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for a boldness to pursue that which you've laid before them. We thank you, Lord, for those children to be the leaders, God, of tomorrow. We thank you that we can prophesy over them, that they would be the mighty men and women in their communities, Lord, that they would be the strong men and women that will lift up the name of Christ and see the nations transformed through the power of the gospel, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you, Father, that we speak your blessing over them. We speak your blessing over the work of their hands, God. And we thank you, Lord, that we can just declare that, yes, God, you have gone before them, Lord, that you surround them with your favor like a shield, God, and that you would come behind them, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, that you would be their rear guard. Lord, we commit compassion to you, Lord, and we thank you that your name be glorified in the earth, God, through this organization, Lord, through the people in it, Lord, and through the lives that they're touching, God, in the name of Jesus. We give you glory and honor and praise, God, and we thank you that you're faithful to finish the good work that you have started, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to close in prayer, and then we're going to, if you'd been challenged this morning, I just want to encourage you to respond to the word. If there's any of the things that I mentioned in terms of, you've kind of had that, you haven't entered the rest of God, for instance, say in your time management, on your finance, or in your giving, and there's maybe that bit of a stress factor still, that feeling of the running around like a headless chicken thing, or feeling, you know, in London it's often like that. You feel very much part of the rat race because everybody is such a hurry and running type of thing. And if you're there and you feel God has just challenged you with something, I just want to encourage you to respond to the word, to come forward. I'd love to pray with you. I don't have the answers, but I know God has prepared a place of rest, and He's prepared that place where we can take a hold of that grace that He has made available, and really that we would abound in this grace of giving of ourselves and of giving, not randomly, but giving in obedience. Okay. Philip just wants to share something, and then we're going to pray.
Good morning, church. I just read a bit on the way here this morning, and I think it just is a confirmation for me as well that God's really moving over here as well as in this congregation. And I'm just reading over here from 1 Peter 1. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And I'd just like to encourage you that loving one another, this is what it's part of as well. And it just really stirs it in my heart as well that love one another, but these are part of this congregation, part of this focus. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, God, that through Jesus Christ, Lord, you've prepared a place of rest for us, God. A place, Lord, where there's grace sufficient for everything that we might face, Lord. And this morning we want to choose, God, not to allow the seed of unbelief and the root of unbelief to grow in our lives, God, that we would take a hold of the seed of faith, that we would take a hold, Lord, of the grace, that great grace that you've made available for us, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, specifically in this area of our resources, God, I thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us as a congregation. I thank you, Lord, that you've always blessed us in abundance, God, and we pray that we would abound even more in this grace of giving, Lord, that we would, even in the areas where we've been challenged this morning, I thank you, Lord, for us to grab a hold of that grace, to walk in obedience, even when it seems impossible, to take you up on your word, Lord, and just take step by step to move in obedience as you direct us, God. We thank you, God, I thank you for every testimony that will come out, Lord, that will come from this word, Lord. Thank you that This word takes root in our hearts and grows and brings and bears fruit to your glory, Father, and for the sake of your name, Lord. I thank you for us, Lord, as we go out in this love of God, Lord, that you poured into our hearts, God, that we would see this love manifest as we give, Lord, manifest as people's lives are transformed, Lord, as your love covers people and transforms lives, God. We thank you for it, God, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Thank you for your blessing as we go and your presence with every person here, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.